You and I both know that growth happens the most when we step outside of our comfort zone. The question is, how do we use whatever season we're in right now to pursue a thriving, purpose-filled life? Join us on a journey to tackle the scary, overcome fear, and help mission-minded mamas creatively grow with full hands and full hearts. We're your hosts, Danny.
And I'm Taylor.
And welcome to the Wild Happy Family Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Wild Happy Family Show. I'm your host, Taylor, today. Oh, today has been a great day so far. I mean, great as in terms of however great Corona can be. I got the privilege to take my kids and myself to a military base here in Germany and get tested drive-through style for the coronavirus because one of my kids' teachers got tested positive for COVID, which I'm sure a lot of you can relate to right now. So I thought today that I would talk to you a little bit about my life. I mean, we do that all the time, but I wanted to talk to you a little bit about my life before I was a Christian. So Danny and I, as you know, are sisters. And as we grew up, we were raised in a Christian household. Our parents took us to a Mennonite church, and not the Mennonite that comes close to the Amish Mennonite, but just more conservative. So I was raised in that setting, and I kind of always like knew that there was a God throughout my whole life because, you know, that was what was taught to us and told to us, but I don't think I ever had a real relationship with him. My parents divorced when I was 8 years old, I think. Yeah. 8 years old, because my dad was an alcoholic. And a few years after that, my dad passed away due to his alcoholism. And that was really hard. Like, I was 12 years old when he passed away. Danielle's 6 years older than me, so she was 17 or 18, I think. And so that was just a really hard time in our lives. After my parents had divorced, my mom took a huge, well, there was a lot of issues in the church and the relationships, and basically she just left the church, and I didn't really hear her talk about faith a lot at all. And I would go to church on Sunday with my dad before he passed away, and I would sing the songs and I'd be involved in that. My mom's family is pretty, I would consider them to be like non-religious or atheist. My dad's family was definitely more the strong people in faith throughout my whole life. But after my dad passed away, I didn't really have a lot of contact to anybody, nor did I really talk about it, and nor did I want to, because I was really hurting, and I didn't really want to believe that there was a God who would take my dad away from me. So that was definitely a really hard time in my life. Since my sister and I were so far apart in age, we didn't cope the same way, right? Like, I mean, you can imagine a 12-year-old and an 18-year-old. We're really different in terms of maturity, emotional stability, and all those things. So we also weren't really close at that time. And there was a lot of conflict between us as well. We didn't have the easiest relationship growing up. I was always a little sister that stole her makeup and stole her clothes and snuck onto her computer to use her Adobe Photoshop because that was the cool thing to do. So when I was then 13, entering middle school, I just started hanging out with the wrong people. I was into partying. I did a lot of drugs. I partied a lot. I moved out when I was 15 or 16, and because I didn't want to live at home anymore, because my mom and I had also been having a really tense relationship. She remarried to an amazing guy, but at the time, of course, it was really strained, and his kids came to live with us for a bit, and then that strained the relationship even more. And I just kind of was like, screw it. Life sucks. There is no reason to live, really. So fast forward years and years, a couple years in advance or later, and Danny decides to go off to this YWAM thing, Youth with a Mission. And she goes off to Israel, and she's like having the time of her life, getting to know God, sending me back like snail mail. Jesus loves you, Taylor, da 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 da, sending me Bible verses, sending me this, and I was like, oh, great, you're a stupid, flippin' crazy Christian now. Yay. Wonderful. Because that was my view on Christians, is that they were all kind of crazy and stupid and pushing their beliefs on you, and they were fake. I had a really, and you know, that could be due to a lot of past experiences with our family and the church and stuff like that, that I just felt like Christians were fake and that God couldn't be real if this is how people acted with each other. Yeah, so as Danny came back, she met her husband, got married, moved to Germany, all that stuff. I was finishing up high school. I was still partying, still, you know, doing a lot of bad stuff and making a lot of bad decisions in my life. But I got accepted into some universities. I was going to go to art school. I was going to be a graphic designer. I was really excited about that. I even got a few scholarships. And since my sister was living in Germany, I was like, oh, awesome. I'm going to go do this Europe trip thing, you know, after high school, gap year, gap time, before I hit university, before I, like, you know, have tons and tons of debt from school and all that sort of stuff. I'm going to go and do a Europe trip. And my sister lives in Germany, so that means that I get to stay somewhere for free. Yay! Free food, free housing, free everything. And at the time, she lived in a really beautiful part of Germany. Not saying that where I live right now isn't beautiful, but it's definitely a lot sunnier and warmer, and it's a really pretty part of Germany that she used to live in, called Freiburg. And she had been telling me for months, oh, I'm gonna take you to do this, I'm gonna take you to do that, we're gonna have so much fun, da 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 da. And I was like, yay! And then I think it was a couple months before I planned to come out, she messaged me and she's like, so we're gonna be actually moving, and when you're coming to visit us, we're actually gonna be living in a little village of like 2,000 people. We call it a cow village, about 4 hours away from Freiburg, from all the amazing things she'd been telling me that she wants to do, and with me. And I was like, okay, all right. Well, I guess I'll still be in Europe, was my thought, so I could still get around. Yeah. And then she was like, yeah, well, we're moving because we're gonna go work with YWAM. We're gonna go staff some of these discipleship training schools with some friends of ours who asked us to go and staff that. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. More Christian stuff. Lovely. I was hoping to avoid it, but I guess I can't anymore. Because they're like actually gonna go work in a place like that. And I was like, okay. And she's like, but it's cool. There's a castle there. And I was like, all right, all right. So I was like begrudgingly like, okay, hopefully this won't ruin my Europe trip because I really wanted to have a wild and crazy and fun time, like, you know, going off and being able to drink beer before you're 21 and or 19 where I grew up, and you know, all these cool things that I thought about Europe. And then I was like, I'm not going to be able to get anything. I'm not My big thought was, I'm not going to be able to have any fun with all the stuck-up Christians. I wish I had a friend going with me. So those were all of the thoughts going on in my head and stuff like that. And then she was like, yeah, you know, the discipleship training school starts in September, and I had planned to go in August to go visit them. And this was, we were talking about like April, May-ish. And she was like, yeah, it's the 6 month program thing that we're going to be staffing. Oh, maybe you could do it. And she kind of like vaguely mentioned it, and I was like, yeah, no, definitely not going to. I'm accepted into university. I've got my plans. My life is on a path. I'm gonna get somewhere, and it's gonna be amazing, kind of was in my head. Couple months later, getting ready to go to Germany and take my first big flight. 2 days before my flight, I decided to have a one last hurrah partying. A bunch of friends and I got all together, and we were up for 2 days binging on, well, multiple kinds of narcotics and drinking a lot. And I don't think I slept for 2 days. So that was my like 2 days before the airplane ride. And so on the airplane ride, I was all like sweaty and gross and nervous for multiple reasons. Oh, life. When I think back on this time, I just kind of have to laugh a little bit. So I fly and I get to Germany, and I'm with my sister, and we're living in this castle, which is actually pretty cool. And then a week into it, she was just like, you know, you could just like stay and do the DTS if you wanted to. And at this time, we were in a we had traveled with her, the staff team of this DTS, we had traveled to a monastery just outside of Darmstadt. It was a nunnery. I don't think that that's the proper way to say it. It wasn't monks, it was nuns. So it was a women's monastery. And there was no internet, there was no phones, there was nothing. It was just like quiet. And I remember walking through this beautiful garden, and it was of all the, like, it was representing all of the sacrifices of Jesus, kind of thing, or all of his suffering, the suffering of Jesus and what he went through. And at the end of this garden, there was a beautiful statue of Christ on a cross, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and it was gorgeous, and the sun was shining through the trees. There were so many colors and lots of flowers, and you just sat in this garden, and I was like, man, this place is special. Like, you could feel it. Like, I and at this point, again, I'm still not like there in my mind. I'm like, I have no idea who the Holy Spirit is. I have no idea anything else is. Yeah, and you could just and I didn't believe in the Holy Spirit or anything. Like, there was nothing in me logically to connect to how I was feeling. But when I look back on it, I'm like, man, that place was just like the presence of God was so tangible there. And somebody came up to me and they're like, Taylor, that like, because there was a verse on our beds when we came in. It was like, for I have written your name on my hand, I've engraved you onto me. And it was somewhere in Isaiah. And I was like, what does that even mean? What does this mean? And one of the staff members came up to me. She's like, it's kind of like God always knew you. Like, he has written you on him, and he has you, and he wants you permanently with him, kind of thing. And I just kind of like broke down. I have no idea why at this moment, but I just felt so like, oh my goodness, he wants that. And I talk a lot about, like, I didn't believe in God and all that sort of stuff. I always knew somehow that we had to be in some, there has to be a creator. Like, I always believed that. I didn't, like, I always believed that there was something bigger than just us out there, but I never really took the time to go in that direction. So fast forward another week or so, and funny story, I was going through my carry-on, and I was looking at like all through my pockets and stuff like that, and I have a hidden pocket inside my purse. Which is, yeah, anyways, so I'm going through this purse and I'm like cleaning out my stuff and I'm getting rid of the garbage and all these sorts of things, go into my hidden pockets, checking to see if anything fell in there. And I found a, I found a bag of cocaine in there. And I was just like, I looked at that baggie and I took this bag onto the airplane with me. I went through customs. I did all of this stuff, and they even like, 'cause I was so nervous at the customs place, they even like swabbed my palms and like gave me an extra check over and stuff like that. And 'cause I had looked so nervous, I guess, and I was sweating a lot. And then a couple of weeks later, I look through my purse and I find this bag of cocaine in my purse, which was brought on to the airplane with me. And I looked at it and I was just like, there has to be a God. Oh my goodness. There has to be a God. Like, come on. I could have, like, I was 18. I could have been brought to jail. They could have charged me with stuff. I was just sitting there looking at this bag, and I ran to the garbage and I threw it away because I was just like, I don't want this stuff anymore. Like, this is ridiculous, man. And then, I'm like shaking, and I'm like, oh my goodness, of course not telling anybody, because like, oh no. And so yeah, I looked at that, and then another couple days later, Danny asked me again. She's like, do you want to stay for the DTS? And I was like, I had been thinking about it. I'd been thinking about my life and where I was going. I thought about the cocaine bag. I thought about all my partying. I thought about the people who I knew back home and what I was going to go back to. And I thought, okay, looking into my future, what is happening with my life? I'm going to go to university, going to get a lot of debt, probably going to keep partying with all my friends because those are the only people I know. Maybe I get the job that I want. Probably not. I'm going to end up working a job that I hate. Probably going to have kids. Maybe I'll get married. Then I'm going to get divorced because that's the way life is nowadays. Maybe I'll go on a few vacations. And then what? And then what? I was like, what am I living for? What is my purpose? And in that moment, I was like, maybe God's the answer. Maybe there's something I'm missing in my life. And that was it. I missed my flight back to Canada. I pushed off my university and I stayed to do this DTS thing. And I got to know God. And it was seriously because of the love that I saw for all of the people around me. Like, they interacted with each other out of a genuine desire to love one another. And that for me, I was like, man, I'm missing something. All the Christians that I knew before, I'm missing something. There's something more to this than that I didn't see at home, which is, you know, in a way is a sad testimony of the church that I grew up in. But I think a lot of us can relate to that. And so as I stayed, I just recognized how many people had prayed for me, how many people had asked me over and over again how I'm doing and questions. And even when I brushed them off, even for years saying that they're stupid or I hated them or all this sort of stuff, like my sister and my grandparents and, you know, these people who spoke into my lives, spoke truth into my life, you know, all those times finally were coming to a place of my heart being open to hearing it. And what I want to say with this is, and I really felt like it was important, just if you have somebody in your life who maybe doesn't know the Lord yet, who maybe has known him and has walked away from him, don't give up praying. Don't give up talking to them. Don't give up speaking truth into their life, even if you push them away, or even if they push you away, even if they tell you that you're stupid or that they hate you or that you're a crazy Christian or anything. Don't stop. Don't give up, because you never know when the question that you ask them or the comment that you give to them is going to be the tipping point. Had my sister not asked me if I wanted to stay and do DTS, had she not talked with me, had I not had her over the years trying to love on me, even though I refused it, trying to speak out of love towards me and speaking truth that God thought about me into my life, had she not persevered in the relationship, I don't know if I would be where I am today. And I am so thankful that there was somebody in my life who persevered in praying for me, who persevered in talking to me, and who took the step out of their comfort zone, a courageous step, ready to hear me freak out at them and ask me if I wanted to take another step in the direction of getting to know who God is. Sometimes all it takes is a little bit of courage and a lot of faith that God can move hearts and do miracles in the lives of the people around us. So I believe that we all have somebody in our lives that we can speak truth to, that we can ask them, hey, do you want to know more about God? Hey, do you want to come with me to my small group? Hey, do you want to have a talk? Do you want to ask me any questions about my faith? And then just continue on, even if they push you away, not in a persistent, like pushing it down their throat, but just being there. Like, it wasn't that Danny had talked to me every week about God, or that every conversation that we ever had before I really became a Christian and got to know Christ, it wasn't that every one of those conversations revolved around God, but she was intentional about bringing it up whenever whenever there was a little bit of an opening. She was intentional about asking me questions. She was intentional about being discerning about whether or not this is a moment that she can speak truth into my life. She was very intentional about praying for me too. And I know that there's a lot of people praying for me, and I'm so happy that they were. So Do not lose hope and do not fear, for God has given us a spirit of courage and of wisdom. And he has put you in somebody's life for a reason. And so I am super excited to hear about whatever happens in your guys' life in regards to people and you speaking truth and loving on these people around you. Because seriously, it's so amazing. I mean, I've been on the other end of that, right? And I can only say it's worth it. It is so, so worth the effort and the perseverance and everything, because I know that my life is immensely better for having known and knowing Christ. Anyways, have a wonderfully wild day, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today and listening to a bit about my life. And I hope that you guys have a blessed day. Praying for peace for all of you as the election stuff is happening right now in America. I know that there's a lot of turmoil going on, but you know, God has good plans in store regardless of the results. And I just pray for joy and peace for you today. Have a great day, Mama. Bye.